I have two scriptures this morning. We're going to start in Jeremiah and finish in Lamentations. And let me first pray. Jesus, the wonders and the joy that you have spoken to me from your word, will you enable me to share these with my church family this morning? From your heart to mine to theirs, will you bless us with the wonders of your word? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay. High school Sunday school class, which is Jonathan and Elijah, last fall, I asked Jonathan to pick a new topic to study, and he chose the book of Jeremiah. I think I've shared this before. I said, no, you don't want to study Jeremiah. He said, yeah. I said, no. I tried to talk him out of it. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. Doesn't that sound like fun? He's called the weeping prophet because he wept over the sins of God's people. When you read the book of Jeremiah, you wait for the story to get better, and it doesn't. And you wait for the happy ending, and there isn't one. And so I said, I don't think we want to study Jeremiah. He persisted. And I'm so glad that he did, because we started to dig for buried treasure in the book of Jeremiah, and we found it. We are finding it. It's like shovelful by shovelful layers of dirt as we dig down deeper and deeper. And this is what I wanted you to share this morning, something that has astonished and inspired me. Here is our first scripture. Let me read that first. From Jeremiah 25, verses 1 to 3. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of King Jehoiakim, son of Josiah of Judah, that was the first year of King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. This is a little history. This is where we are. Which the prophet Jeremiah spoke to all the people of Judah and all the inhabitants of Israel. For 23 years, from the 13th year of King Josiah, son of Ammon of Judah, to this day, the word of the Lord has come to me, and I have spoken persistently to you. But you have not listened. You have not. We don't know a lot about Jeremiah. We find out that his father's name was Hilkiah in the book of Jeremiah. He was a priest. He was born in the town of Anathoth in Israel. We find that he was born in the last decade of the rule of Manasseh, who was the worst king Israel ever had. By worse, I mean he encouraged pagan worship, he imported sorcerers and magicians who enslaved the people with superstition. He filled the great temple of Solomon in Jerusalem with monster and beast-shaped idols. He filled the temple with magicians and prostitutes. Now, we read this and say, yeah, that happened tens of thousands of years ago. But it hurts my heart when I look around this sanctuary and try to picture it filled with idols shaped like monsters and beasts. The word is desecration. This is what Manasseh did. I can't imagine that here. He encouraged a corrupt society of lust and greed and murder. The political system was in a shambles. Society was in a shambles. In 2 Kings chapter 21, it tells us that Manasseh burned his own son in a ritual of witchcraft. And this was the world into which Jeremiah stepped. The ancient faith was brought close to oblivion at this time in Israel's history. And into this world, God called Jeremiah. And it was some kind of call, too. Just going to give you a little bit here. There's so much more, but just want to give you a taste today of Jeremiah. We look in the first chapter of Jeremiah. Here was his call from God. He was a youth. He is described as a youth, which could be anywhere from, 15, 16, 17, 18, a youth. And here was the call of God to Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me saying, this is God spoke to Jeremiah saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. God knew Jeremiah before Jeremiah knew God. And God called him before he was born to a purpose. And if we look a little further in chapter 1, here's what God said to Jeremiah. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. The desecration of the temple, the rule of Manasseh. I have chosen you to stand against all of these. They will fight you, but will not overcome you. For I am with you. I will rescue you, declares the Lord. That was God's call to Jeremiah. Jeremiah was called to be the prophet of the Lord, by the Lord. He was called to pronounce God's judgment upon the people for their wickedness, their false and insincere worship, their failure to trust and obey God. He denounced social injustice and corruption in people's hearts, and more than any other prophet, he called people to repent, to turn from sin and return to God. And later on in the story of Jeremiah, when Jerusalem was burned to the ground and the people were carried off into exile to Babylon, in despair, Jeremiah expressed hope for the bright future that God promised them. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. As Jeremiah was arrested, held by the guards, and then later carried off into Babylon, you know what he did? He bought property in Israel. Because God told him to. Because it was a demonstration of Jeremiah's faith in God and God's promises that he would return and restore these people to their home. Jeremiah was sensitive in nature, perhaps even shy. He did not marry. And as history has it, he died somewhere in his 60s, perhaps even before the age I am now, which is 65. So here we have these verses. Look at verse 3. For 23 years, I have spoken persistently to you, but you have not listened. This astonishes me. It astonishes me. During his life, Jeremiah was attacked. We can read it all in Jeremiah. Physically attacked, he was slandered, he was betrayed by friends, he was chased, hated, arrested, plotted against. We can read in Jeremiah about times when he was so depressed that he wished he had never been born. He says that in Jeremiah. I wish I had never been born. I wish my mother had never conceived me. Sometimes he wished he could run away and live alone in the desert. At one point, he even accused God of abandoning him. His conversations with God are so honest and heartrending. Do you not see what's happening here? We want to say to Jeremiah, give it up. Look, for 23 years, you've preached the word of the Lord to the people, and they did not listen. We want to say, Jeremiah, give it up. But in Jeremiah 20, Jeremiah says, but God's word, I wanted to give it up. But God's word was like a fire in my heart, and I cannot hold it in. That's what he said. I can't hold it in. I have to speak it. And I'm asking myself, but how? How? As I shared some of the things that happened to Jeremiah, attacked, slandered, betrayed, chased, hated, arrested, I'm thinking, what does this look like in our lives? I've never been, I can't say I've been chased across the desert with people trying to murder me. But put it in our perspective, things that have happened in our lives to us, hard things, the hard things in life, the losses, the challenges, the things that break our hearts, the things that we have to do day after day after day that can overwhelm us. And sometimes we feel like, give it up. But how did Jeremiah not? How did he not? And how do we not? This is where we found something astonishing. Using a study book by Eugene Peterson, he was a pastor. He's very well known for writing the Bible translation, The Message. And if you'll just hang in there with me, this is what I wanted to share with you. This word in this verse 3, persistently, is an amazing word from the Hebrew. The word has a picture behind it. The word is H-A-S-H-K-E-M, hashkem. Persistently, hashkem. My New International Version says over and over again. Over and over again. All right, I'll do this quickly, but hang in there. Okay. The original version of that word was shechem, S-H-E-C-H-E-M. It means shoulder. At the center of Palestine, there are two immense shoulder mountains. They're shaped like shoulders, like this, one on each side. You find this story in the book of Deuteronomy and Joshua. Two mountains, Ebal and Gerizim. The village nestled between these two shoulder mountains was named Shechem. And when the Israelites first came to this land after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, Joshua led them to Shechem. He divided up the tribes, half on one mountain, half on the other. And he gave them directions. These folks were supposed to shout blessings, the blessings that would be theirs if they obeyed and followed God. And these folks were to shout curses, the curses that would fall on them if they disobeyed God, if they abandoned God. And this is what happened. And so the center where the word of God was spoken and listened to was the town of Shechem. But then throughout history, as words do, Shechem developed another meaning and another form. In those days when you went on a long trip, you loaded provisions for the journey on the shoulders of your donkey or camel or your own shoulders, and you set out. So the noun of Shechem became a verb that meant Load the shoulders of beasts for a day's journey. Load the shoulders for a journey. And in a hot country like Israel, you got up as early as possible before dawn to get as many miles in as you could on your journey before it got too hot to travel. And so this word came to describe the activity of people who got up early before the sun and set out with a heavy burden on a long journey. Persistently, hashkem, a people who got up before dawn, set out with a heavy burden on a long journey. And this is the form of the word that is used here at the center of Jeremiah, right there, persistently, for 23 years, and longer, really. This is just the point in his life that he's writing this, that this is happening, that he's speaking this to the people. He spent more time. So at the center of the book of Jeremiah and at the center of his life is hashkem. This is what astonished me. Just astonished me. Jeremiah is not bored. We don't find him reluctant. He didn't get up every morning to face rejection. This is the part that astonishes me. He didn't get up every morning knowing he was going to face more rejection and more anger. He got up in the morning to meet with God. That's what he got up. Jeremiah didn't get up in the morning to put up with more hatred and mockery. He got up to be with God. And Jeremiah didn't get up dreading what the day would bring and the long road ahead, same day after day. Jeremiah got up anticipating, listening to God's words and what God would speak to him. Jeremiah didn't resolve to stick it out for 23 years, no matter what. I'm just going to stick this out for 23 years, no matter what. I'm going to do it. He didn't do that. Every morning he got up with the sun with hope, because for Jeremiah the day belonged to God, not to people, not to circumstances. It belonged to God. And Jeremiah did this every morning after morning, after day, after week, after month, after year, for 23 years. Where did he learn this persistence? Where? Not from people. Not from people. In the midst of all this sin and suffering, Jeremiah learned this from God. And how do we know this? This is our next scripture. Lamentations, a book written by Jeremiah. Lamentations 3, 21 to 23. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O God, O Ancient of Days. Steadfast mercies never cease. Never come to an end. They are new every morning. This is what he learned from God. From God. So what does this look like in our lives then? Maybe not before sunrise, but maybe. Maybe so. Our lives are full of responsibilities and children to take care of and jobs to go to and medication to take on time and people to care for. Our lives are very, very full and challenging. But I think in my heart, if we lived Jeremiah's example, it would change everything. I look at my own life and I look at 48 years, about 48 years, I think, since I asked Jesus to be my Savior. And I think of those 48 years, how many mornings have I missed anticipating meeting with God and being with Him and anticipating His word to me for this day, this day? How many mornings has it been? And after 23 years, as you read through the book of Jeremiah, his imagination was more alive and his spirit was more resilient than it was when he was younger. He lost nothing. His days added up to a life of courage and faithfulness and stamina and anticipation and perseverance and purpose. This is what his days added up to. Because he persisted in finding new every morning the faithfulness of God every morning. What if we got up every morning to meet God first? We got up to be with God, to anticipate God's word for us. This would be different for everyone. My sister works third shift. You know, so she's coming home when one of us are getting up, when I'm getting up, you know, at 6 or 6:30 in the morning. She's on her way home. So this will look different as God will fit it into the pattern of our lives. But the word is to persist. Persistence. Living persistently. I think it can look just like it did for Jeremiah. I think it can. And I don't want to give up any more days of my life missing God. And I'm just going to close with Eugene's words here. This is the source of Jeremiah's persistent living. He was up before the sun. That's adjustable there. This was Jeremiah's life. But I'm thinking it can work for us. Up before the sun, listening to God. Rising early, he was quiet and attentive before the Lord. Long before the yelling started. Long before the mocking, the complaining. Long before this started. There was this centering and discovering, exploring time with God. Not mindlessly, but with persistence. And Mr. Peterson writes in his book, Running with the Horses, that is the one thing needful in our lives. The one thing. To do this and do it again and again and again. Persistently. I thank you, Jesus, for the life of Jeremiah and the example he left for us. Just before our prayer this morning, we have a prayer shawl to bless. And we'd like to ask your blessing, God, upon the hands that made this so lovingly, with care, and with joy, so willingly. And we ask your blessing upon the person that receives it, that it will bring comfort to them, and especially that by way of your Holy Spirit, that you would enable them to feel, to understand, to know, Lord, that this love is yours, shared by someone from this congregation, this church family. But the love is yours, and the comfort is yours. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. From Revelation chapter 1, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen, and go in peace.